Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
Just after 4:30, John Edwards right here, just before June 1st. What are you going to hit us with this weekend?
Not too much. Keeping it pretty quiet this weekend. Waiting to see if spring will actually arrive or if the rain festival continues.
Well, the Alouettes are going to start playing again within a week or so. And they decided this year to ban air horns at Molson Stadium. Is John Edwards for or against that?
I'm for it. They're annoying as heck. It sort of sounds really sort of bush league. When you watch on TV, all you hear is the air horns. You can't hear anything else. So yeah, I'm for getting rid of them. You know, bring out the vuvuzelas. Do those.
Okay. Why don't you tell us how you really feel? The NBA final, it looks like it may be Oklahoma City against Indiana. That's still not a for sure thing. But what about the prospect of having two boys from Montreal North, Lugan Dortz and Ben Mathurin, face off? That would be real cool.
That would be really cool. And it's a sign of how basketball's popularity has really exploded in Montreal and even in the in Canada overall, certainly in the last 30 years since the Raptors have come into the NBA. The idea of two people from Montreal, I mean, being in the finals is something that certainly when I was growing up was unthinkable. I think there were two Canadians in the whole NBA in the 80s. And now we've got potentially two people from the same neighborhood facing off for the championship. I think it's a great sign for the game in this country and a great sign for the game in Montreal.
Absolutely. Baseball, Judge and Ohtani continue to power the MLB.
You know, they're pretty clearly the two best players going right now since Mike Trout has had some injury troubles. So we'll see if we get a rematch of the World Series come October, but I wouldn't necessarily bet against it at this point.
Yeah, Ohtani is in the 20 range in wave home runs, and he started pitching again.
Yeah, you know, now we're going to see him at his full effect, which is pretty amazing to see. I mean, he's a generational type talent. So the fact if we can get him, you know, if we can get to see him hitting and pitching at his full potential, that's going to be really special.
John, last year in baseball, the White Sox, they were abysmal. And it's hard to believe, but there's a team that's even worse than them this year. The Rockies are an absolute mess in Colorado.
Yeah, the Rockies are the CF Montreal of Major League Baseball. Yeah, it's really amazing how it took, you know, 50 plus years for someone to be worse than the 62 Mets. The White Sox may only hold on to that record for 1 year because the Rockies are just atrocious. You know, I don't know what's happened there, but they need new ownership, management, everything. I mean, it's just, and some of it is they're playing in a tough division because the Dodgers are good, the Padres are good, the Giants are good, but still, no, it's going to be a long season in Denver.
They're an embarrassment for baseball, really.
I mean, they're not quite as embarrassing as the A's playing in a softball park, but but pretty close.
Right. To finish this off this hour, John, the Carter Hart sexual assault case may be nearing a conclusion with the possibility it could be dismissed entirely. If that happens, Hart could return to the NHL. He could be a free agent as well.
We'll see what happens with it. That trial has been sort of dragging on for a while now, and then we're at the stage where we're getting close to getting to the end of it. So, you know, he just started testifying in his own defense, which is probably not the wisest thing. It's something a lot of the time people will avoid as defendants in trials. The trick is I think for any team that would consider signing him, is even if he is acquitted, is his involvement in this going to render him, you know, toxic enough that that they won't want to sign him?
Look, if you were a GM, would you touch him?
I'd have to think long and hard, and probably not.
Yeah. Talk to you at 5:30.
Yep, see you then.
Of course there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.
She rolls the window.
The Weekly News Review with longtime Townships journalist Mike McDevitt on the Friday Drive.
Time for the Weekly News Review right here on the Friday Drive, and Mike McDevitt is not available this week, so we have brought in economic development expert Michel Ratzier, Townships born. Good to have you on the show again. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, my pleasure, Daniel.
Oh, man, what a week. So many things going on. The king in Canada, what a story. It was panned by media and opposition, Michel. Lots of millions went into this. Was it all for show? And what meaning does it have? I guess the question I have is, will it make an impression on anyone, namely anyone with orange hair south of the border?
We will name that person. Look, I think there was a clear strategic objective here for the Prime Minister, having invited the King. He is the King of Canada, to rightly pronounce the opening of Parliament. Mr. Carney, I think, was aiming certainly to assert Canada's sovereignty here. In other words, here's a demonstration of how we differentiate ourselves more clearly with Trump's America, and also to be able to softly counter his call for us to become, and he continues to say so, who we do not want to name south of the border, continues to call for Canada to become the 51st state. And I think Premier Carney wanted also to show our historical allies in Europe, and especially Great Britain, that we should be working together and not rush to kneel in front of Trump. And sadly, this is something PM Starmer did very quickly in February, if you remember. Did Prime Minister Carney succeed in his bet with this? Yes, I think so. The King's speech made major headlines around the world, BBC to Al Jazeera, to headlines in South America, and to France 24. A lot of publications use the "True North is strong and free" finish of that speech as their headline. Even Trump got the message, because he couldn't help himself. As soon as the King left Canadian ground, he tweeted again that if Canada wants to become our 51st state, it won't cost him one penny to be part of the Golden Dome. There you go.
You think Canada could have invested just a little bit more for a fashion consultant for Justin Trudeau and those blue sneakers?
I won't comment on that, because there is a rule in the Senate, by the way, on dress. There is a dress code, but guess what? It doesn't cover shoes.
All right, Michel, this American Golden Dome thing, I mean, the costs are going to be astronomical. My concern is, by the time we've spent all this money, and when it is done, the technology is going to be antiquated anyway.
You know what, Daniel? There's a lot of numbers that are being thrown out there. But let's take, for example, all of this started with President Reagan in 1983. If some of you are alive and remember, this was the Strategic Defense Initiative first proposed. It was called the Star Wars Initiative, and it called for space lasers and kinetic interceptors and missiles and interceptors and so forth. Cost at that time period, this is 1984 to 1989, was estimated to be $26 billion. By 1993, it reached $30 billion, and by the time Bill Clinton canceled it all, George Bush did change the name and made a few investments there. All that came out of this was good, solid research, but not what it was intended to be. Certainly not that very rhetorical, techno-fuel, survivalist, nationalist initiative called the Golden Dome that President Trump came out with. He also came out with a hefty price tag, $175 billion, of which he would like for Canada to contribute 61 of those U.S. billions. Or again, if you want it for free, you can just become the 51st state. A few hours later, Congress came out with an estimated price tag at over $830 billion. So I wouldn't be worried that they will start to invest in technology that will become antiquated. They won't even get there, I think. PM Carney had a very nuanced response to all of this, by the way. He reaffirmed our sovereignty, rejected the 51st state dig, and he also said, yeah, it's a good idea for Canada to have protection. Let's sit down. We're ready to cooperate on defense measures. Let's sit down and talk about it. I think this is another illustration of the slow walk. Talking, clear talking, but carry a solid big stick strategy that seems to be unfolding with Prime Minister Carney. Yeah, right? One thing before we change subjects, our ambassador in Washington, Bob Ray, said that all of this demonstration of the Golden Dome felt like it was a protection racket initiative. You know, the type of lovely story you have here, Canada, it would be sad if it would be blown up.
Yeah. Trump says that we're not going to have to pay for it if we become the 51st state. Wouldn't we pay taxes to the United States if we became a 51st state?
Yeah, but then again, guess what? If Canada would become the 51st state, it would be an extremely, compared to the Democrats in the United States. And then we'd probably need to split the country in 10 new states. Half of those would be Democratic with new senators. You wouldn't even be able to get near the White House after all of this. This is all bluster. That's how I see it. It's just insulting, but it's all bluster.
I'm very shocked that you would say something like that about Trump.
Yeah, you're shocked that there is gambling in the South, right?
Exactly. Now, Trump went haywire. He went completely nuts this week when a reporter said that the word on the street was that Donald had become the taco president. The president always caves on tariffs. It was a 20-minute rant on the art of negotiation, Michelle.
Yeah, he called the woman reporter that she was a very nasty, very nasty. The taco thing, by the way, did not come out of the brainchild of the Democratic Party. The Trump always chickens out is what he's being called on Wall Street right now. And let's take, for example, again, a few days ago, the U.S. Court of International Trade, which is a very high-level, serious court here. That's the same court that hears disputes with our softwood lumber sector, hearing these disputes for decades now. Remember in April, the Liberation Day tariffs, the reciprocal tariffs were generated because of fentanyl contraband. Yes, Canada was caught with letting through 19 kilograms that were seized over the last 5 years. That's a specter compared to what's coming out of Mexico. So this court is a constitutional court, a three-member court, two Republicans, one Democrat. They rendered a unanimous decision that Trump exceeded his authority by saying this was an emergency intervention according to the Economic Emergency Powers Act. He did not had the legitimate right to impose sweeping tariffs without congressional approval. For us in Canada, at the end of the day, there was a lot of talk over the last 24 to 48 hours, the impact of this, and some people were saying, oh, it's the sun is shining again, and so forth and so on. It really did not mean much for us, this decision about this court. Why? It's because, first of all, on the Liberation Day, tariffs on aluminum, steel, auto parts, and even on softwood lumber were already in place. So that's the 25% on the first three and 14.5% on softwood lumber. Now, this decision only suspended a 10% that was imposed on goods coming from Canada, a variety of goods, about the equivalent of $6 billion of exports going to the United States and a 10% on top of that. Now, that $6 billion is small compared to the projected $430 billion of exports that Canada will probably be selling the Americans. So, and then yesterday, the appeals court, they said this, okay, we're going to study this. We're taking the appeal. We're going to study this, but they reinstated the tariffs while they are going to study this. Whatever the decision will come out of the appeals court, it will probably go to the Supreme Court, and Trump will continue to attack the judicial branch as he loves to do anyway on this issue.
Oh, man, we talk about Trump way too much on this show. Just to finish this off, the Haskell Free Library in Stansted, Derby Line, caught the attention this week of the very British The Economist Weekly magazine.
Absolutely. This is kind of surprising. It was a relatively not lengthy, not a short burp. It was an explanatory. The impact of this situation, which is hard to describe, by the way. So I don't want to repeat. We know what's happening in Stansted, right? It's going to be published in the May 31st edition of this 181-year-old world-class publication. So there's nothing new in the article for us. I was surprised, though, to read that library cardholders have till the end of September to be able to walk across and go through the front door. But as October 1st, it's back door for everyone, unless you want to check in the border with your passport. I think the mayor of Stansted, Jody Stone, had a good quote in this article. He said that we are still all the same people, and all we want is to be able to continue to have good relationships between good neighbors.
We don't want fentanyl, and we don't want books to go through that border, Michel.
Yeah, books. That's dangerous. Books are dangerous.
Absolutely. Information is dangerous anyway down south. Townships-based economic development expert Michel Ratti in for Mike McDevitt this week. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. We speak next week.
Thank you, Dan. My pleasure.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca.
When I think of fate's worse than death, all I can think of is something you said. You said we were golden, bright like the sun. Now I am stranded, knowing I'm not the one. Ocean of anger flowing through me, bloodstained and broken from what I failed to see. Just like a snake charmer, it led me astray. Living in distress, hoping help was on the way. To the soil, I'm dyed in the wool. There's iron in my blood, yet so vulnerable. But after I'm gone, once I finally leave, you will be left alone to the wolves and the thieves.
Time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
Taylor McClure right now reporting from the Brome, Missisquoi region with stories for you from this week. Taylor, how are you?
I'm not doing so bad, Daniel. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you as always for doing this segment. Much appreciated.
Always my pleasure to chat with your listeners.
A couple of things this week. How about the prevention and intervention plan to address vandalism in Sutton?
Yeah, so the town of Sutton has adopted a new prevention and intervention plan to address vandalism in its public spaces, which has been a major challenge for the municipality over the last couple of years. So I spoke with Mayor Robert Benoit, who explained that the municipality is still experiencing vandalism in its parks, on certain infrastructures such as the public bathrooms that are found in the parks, and even sport infrastructures such as the new basketball court in Sutton. And when we're speaking on vandalism, we're particularly looking at graffiti when it comes for the town of Sutton. So as a result of these various situations that have taken place over the last couple of years, the Department of Recreation, Community Life and Culture developed this new prevention and intervention plan in the hopes of, you know, discouraging vandalism and addressing the issue immediately. So some of the intervention measures in the plan include an online platform on the town of Sutton's website where citizens can actually report report acts of vandalism so that the municipality can intervene earlier and address the situation as quick as possible. Another intervention measure includes rapidly cleaning up the vandalism or graffiti in public spaces to discourage others from taking the same course of action. And one of the main intervention measures that's really interesting is the hiring of an outreach worker through the Maison des Jeunes in Sutton, who will be present in the public spaces that are kind of hot spots for vandalism for a more positive intervention with community members in those spaces. So those are some of the intervention measures that they're looking at. And in terms of prevention measures, which are expected to come in the future, once the municipality has a better portrait as to what's going on and what areas in Sutton need to be focused on, some of the prevention measures that will be implemented will include awareness campaigns around vandalism, providing artistic opportunities to create murals for the municipality, which will allow for artistic expression and also help promote the quality of life in Sutton with these nice murals placed around the town, amongst others. But it will be interesting to see how this plan rolls out and if it will make a difference in addressing the issue that is vandalism in town.
Gratuitous violence is never the answer.
That's the idea that they're trying to promote with this plan.
Now, the Brome-Missisquoi Anti-Waste Project, Taylor.
There's a lot of concerns around food insecurity in Brome-Missisquoi right now. You know, the needs for support only continue to grow. And so members of the committee for the Brome-Missisquoi Anti-Waste Project, which include the Volunteer Action Centers, or as we know them, the CABs, particularly the CAB in Cownsville, Farnham, Bedford, Bromont, and Sutton. And there's also a representative from the town of Brome Lake that is now on the committee. They are working in collaboration with their volunteers, local farmers and producers here in Brome-Missisquoi, and other community groups in the region to develop and expand the project to help meet the food needs of the communities that the CABs and volunteer centers serve. So according to the information that I received through my many interviews on this project, the Brome-Missisquoi Anti-Waste Project was instigated by the CAB de Bedford and the Salut Jeune Famille de Brome-Missisquoi back in 2016. It's only continued to grow and evolve since then. So with more people struggling to put food on the table, the CABs here in Brome-Missisquoi are collecting fresh goods that are being donated by a number of farmers and producers from across the region. And this food is then provided to people and families that may need support or access to fresh goods. Through this project, and to give some examples as to how the Brome-Missisquoi Anti-Waste Project supports people here in Brome-Missisquoi, in Brome Lake, for example, there is a community fridge at the community center here in Knowlton that benefits from this project. So fresh fruits and veggies and other products from the project help fill up the fridge throughout the summer, allowing citizens to drop by and pick up fresh goods if ever they need something to eat. At the CAB de Farnham, they actually take some of the food that is donated and contributed by the farmers and producers, and they actually transform it to make frozen meals that they then give back to the people in Farnham and its surrounding areas that may be going for the food bank, for example. So this project involves a lot of collaboration between the different CABs and the local farmers, producers and community members that contribute to the project. As it moves forward, the committee is hoping that more people will actually get involved, such as restaurants and other businesses that might deal with food and, you know, might be looking for a place to donate their food rather than throwing it in the garbage, in order to meet the demand that the CABs are experiencing for their food banks in particular. I know when I spoke with the CAB de Cownsville, they were speaking about how important this project is because the demand is so high for their food bank right now. They actually have waiting lists. Any food that comes from this project goes right towards these CABs and, you know, helps fill in the demand for food baskets for the emergency food banks, for example. So they're really hoping to get more people involved to really create this network or ecosystem for food security here in Brome-Missisquoi. So it's a really great initiative, and it will be really interesting to see how it continues to grow as it moves forward.
Money is tight. Times are rough.
That's what the CAB de Cownsville was mentioning, that the rent is so high, you know, one of the first things that people will cut out of their expenses is food, helping provide some support for people at this time.
Taylor is heard on CIDI FM. Daily news bits can be heard on CIDI991.com/website. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Yes, thanks, Daniel. You have a great weekend as well.
Township's weather, cloudy, low 11 degrees tonight. Tomorrow, rain, high 18, periods of rain Saturday night, low 8. Sunday, a mix of sun and cloud, high 16, long range for Monday, sunny. Ed Humphrey comes in after 5 o'clock with people, places, and things to do in the Eastern Townships. 5-10 interview of the week, Donald Saussure. He's the owner of the Ocean Walk Hotel in Old Orchard Beach, Maine. A lot of concern about Canadian tourists not coming to Maine this year. More coming on that with Donald Saussure. 5:30 Sports, John Edwards. 5:40 Arts and Culture with Sonia Patnode. All on the Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.